intimate and very important day for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. А Харидаса понимаю по-английски.
Буду учиться.
Я буду периодически переходить на русский язык по мере возможности. Просто мы большинством голосов. So, disappearance day of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. One time we heard from Srila Bhaktisiddhir Goswami Maharaj about how Swami Maharaj, when he first time came after he went to the West and then he returned to India, so he came with his disciples to India for the first time. So he brought his Western disciples, and among those disciples was a devotee named Achyutananda Das. So they went straight to Guru Maharaj's mat. And even though they were greeted by another party from Keshava Maharaj, Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj's mat, Srila Swami Maharaj, he chose Guru Maharaj's mat for his place of residence while he was in Navadvip. So at that time, Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Swaya Maharaj were engaged in a very long and deep conversations behind closed doors. And of course, Srila Swaya Maharaj's disciples were wondering what is going on there, what are they talking about? They were very curious. It's the first time in India, it's the first time to see Srila Swaya Maharaj's god brothers and being exposed to the culture of Vaishnavism and the land of Vaishnavism. So after Srila Swaya Maharaj left Guru Maharaj's mat, his disciple Achyutananda Prabhu, he approached him and he was very curious, so he asked very sincerely, Srila Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada, can you tell us what you've been talking about with Srila Sridhar Maharaj? And then Srila Swami Maharaj, he commented that Srila Sridhar Maharaj is a very, very advanced Vaishnava and he had a very deep realizations about Krishna consciousness. And if I would tell you what we were discussing with Srila Sridhar Maharaj, you will faint. That was the answer of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Swami Maharaj. But we should remember that fainting is not fainting that we are thinking about, losing our consciousness, like someone feeling dizzy and then suddenly they're just on the floor and someone needs to give some medicine to them. It's not like that. In this case, fainting means unable to maintain your consciousness on this plane, but actually entering deeper, experiencing deeper spiritual reality. That's what it was meant to be. And Srila Bhaktisiddhir Goswami Maharaj, he heard about that. Of course, every disciple of Swami Maharaj heard about this case, and no one pushed it further. No one asked, but Prabhupada, can you please tell us what you were talking about? Even though we will faint, it's all right, we want to know. Nobody asked that. But Srila Bhaktisiddhar Goswami Maharaj, he was very curious, he said. And he maintained that curiosity. He really wanted to know what it was all about. Not out of just pure mundane curiosity, but he wanted to hear that nectar, at least some hints of what was the discussion about, out of spiritual curiosity. So he said that one day he decided to ask, and he was preparing for that moment, he was waiting for that particular moment when Srila Guru Maharaj would be available for that kind of question. And he said at that time he was alone on veranda, Guru Maharaj's veranda, and Srila Govinda Maharaj was there with Srila Guru Maharaj and they were having a light conversation. And then Goswami Maharaj said that I decided to ask that question and I submitted this question to Srila Guru Maharaj. And Srila Gurudev, Srila Bhaktisundar Govinda Goswami Maharaj, he heard that question and started laughing. So he found it very amusing. And then Srila Guru Maharaj, he also got curious, what is Goswami Maharaj asking about? And then Govinda Maharaj answered, oh Maharaj, he wants you to make him faint. And then Srila Goswami Maharaj, he said, Guru Maharaj, become very grave. His expression, become very grave. And he chanted pranam mantra that he composed for Srila Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And after hearing this pranam mantra, Goswami Maharaj said, he stumbled down from the veranda and he was practically unable to maintain consciousness because it was given to him, chanted with such spiritual force that it's entered, forcefully, it's entered his heart. And for the moment, he experienced that higher reality. And he experienced what means to faint when you hear something like that. So that was Gadadhar Pandit's pranam mantra. And then Srila Goswami Maharaj, regaining his consciousness, he went back to veranda, and then he saw that Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev, they're engaged in a very light conversation, like nothing happened. They just keep going with their conversation, talking about something. And then Goswami Maharaj, he said, I realized that for them, it's nothing special. Actually, for them, this is the reality. They can just exchange the shlokas that can make you faint as some kind of a transcendental game. For them, it is the reality. But for us, it's something that will make us faint. Again, it requires a certain qualification to hear those shlokas. Anyway, so unfortunately, due to my poor memory, I don't remember that shloka, but I do have it on my iPad, so I will read it for my own purification. Nilam buddhi tate sadas vaviraha kshipanvitam banhavam shrimad bhagavatam katham adhirayam sanjivanam bhatiya shrimad bhagavatam sadas vanyanasru payana ih pudyayan goswami prabharo gadathar vibhur buyatmat ekagatir. On the shore of the broad blue ocean, Gadadhar Pandit used to read Srimad Bhagavatam to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was suffering from the great internal pain of separation from himself. Gadadhar Pandit supplied the wine of Krishna Lila to intoxicate his afflicted friend and give him relief. As he read, tears would fall from his eyes like flowered offerings onto the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. May the pleasure of that brilliant personality, Gadadhar Pandit, the best of Goswamis, be my only object in writing this book. So this verse was composed by Srila Guru Maharaj, who also revealed the glories of Srila Gadadhar Pandit and his exalted spiritual position. So we heard from Srila Gurudev on many occasions how he was talking about a certain Krishna Lila when Krishna is in the company of the gopis, and then at some point Lalita is there, Vishakha is there, other Sakis are there, and then at some point Radharani, she decides to leave, and then suddenly Krishna loses that ecstasy, that flow is not there anymore. So he is disturbed and he goes and looking for Radharani, and then he finds Radharani, and then that ecstasy is coming back to him. And then after a while he decides to disappear because he wants to see what Radharani would feel. He wants to mine her ecstasy. He wants to see what is in the heart of Srimati Radharani. And then Krishna hides himself and he witnesses the ecstatic transformation of Radharani's ecstasy and separation from Krishna. And then at that moment, Srila Gurudev used to say, he decides that he wants to taste that wonderful ecstasy that Radharani is experiencing. So he decides to become Srimati Radharani. And when Krishna wants something, automatically, Srimati Radharani exists only for Krishna's pleasure. Her only reason is to serve Krishna, and she is the best servitor. So when she hears something like that, she offers herself fully for that. So Krishna, he takes her heart. And knowing, Srimati Radharani knows what she is experiencing for sure. But Krishna is very curious. He doesn't know. He wants to know. He wants to experience that. And knowing that, Srimati Radharani also wraps him with her halo. And that's how Mahaprabhu appears. But Mahaprabhu always comes with his prashadas, his followers. And of course, Srimati Radharani comes together. And she is already giving the heart to Krishna. She is already giving her appearance, her halo. Everything is given. Bhava Kanti, all is given to Krishna. And Krishna changes his form of Shyamasundar into a golden form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what left, that Srimati Radharani, she appears as Gadadhar Pandit in Mahaprabhu's Leela. It is very difficult to comprehend and understand. It's actually impossible to understand. It's a very deep spiritual conception. In fact, I am not qualified even to think about it, what to talk about, speaking about it. But at the same time, I cannot not to say anything about it, because today is this very special day, and on this occasion we must glorify Srila Gadadhar Pandit, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is my duty in front of my spiritual master. So I'm trying to say what I heard from Srila Guru Maharaj, from Srila Sridhar Maharaj's recordings, and from Srila Goswami Maharaj and other Vaishnavas. So please forgive me. I should have started from that. So my explanation is far from being perfect, and it is actually impossible to ever become perfect when we're talking about this subject. Anyhow, Gadadhar Pandit, he appears, giving Srimati Radharani herself, so we shouldn't forget that, giving everything to Krishna, giving her heart. So Srila Guru Maharaj says that Gadadhar Pandit is like the shadow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whatever was taken from Srimati Radharani, what left is Gadadhar Pandit, and he is following Mahaprabhu wherever he goes, but maintaining respectful distance, always ready to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in any way possible. But there is always some distance. And from the history, not the history, but actually reality, we hear from Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, how Gadadhar Pandit, since a very small, when he was a child basically, he had no attraction whatsoever to any mundane things. He was renounced since the beginning, since very early age. He had no interest in anything but Krishna consciousness. And we should remember that, who is the source of Krishna consciousness? The source of Krishna consciousness is not Krishna. He is Krishna. But who is Krishna conscious in a perfect way is Srimati Radharani. So she is giving that Krishna consciousness. Everything is coming from her. And so many wonderful stories we can hear. I mean, you can read it in Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam. How Gadadhar Pandit participated in early leelas of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time there was a beautiful kirtan and harikatha in Shuklambar's brahmachari's house. I think it is described in Chaitanya Bhagavata or some other scripture. And at that time devotees were hearing this Krishna katha, and Mahaprabhu was singing beautiful kirtan and speaking about Krishna. And Gadadhar Pandit was inside the house. He was hiding there, again maintaining this distance. And at some point, unable to check his emotions, his ecstasy, he started crying very loudly. And Mahaprabhu, he heard this crying, he asked, who is crying? And then someone came, oh, it's your Gadadhar. He is crying, he is right behind you, behind that wall in the house. Also, there's a beautiful story how Gadadhar Pandit met his guru, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So his good friend, Mukunda Datta, a very dear friend of Gadadhar Pandit, he took him. Gadadhar Pandit asked many times that he wants to see a real Vaishnava, substantial Vaishnava, and he wanted to accept initiation from such Vaishnava. And one day Mukunda came running to Gadadhar Pandit and said, yes, Now your desires will be fulfilled. That Vaishnava have came. Please come with me and I will introduce you to him. His name is Pundarik. And before that, many devotees, they heard, like our Mahaprabhu during his ecstatic kirtans would sometime call, Bab Pundarik, Father Pundarik, Father Pundarik, been in the mood of Srimati Radharani. But they all wondered, who is that Pundarik? Because no one knew who is that Pundarik. And then, on one occasion, Pundarik, within it, he was visiting Navadvip. And Mukunda Datta knew him, and then he invited Gadadhar right away, because Gadadhar wanted to see a pure devotee of the Lord. So when they came, they saw Pundarik Vidiniti, who was a very wealthy gentleman, wealthy from a spiritual point of view, no doubt about that, but also wealthy from a mundane point of view. He was traveling on a very well-decorated carriage, followed by the servants. And he was there, and you know, there was few servants offering him chamaras and making sure that he is very comfy and not too hot. And he was smoking something, smoking hookah or something. Gurudev used to comment on that. Anyhow, so this is how Gadadhar Pandit, he saw Pundarik Vidiniti. And immediately he had some doubt. Right? Of course, we have to remember it's Krishna Lila. Mahaprabhu's Lila, so everything has the reason, everything is serving the purpose of Lila. So he felt some doubts about the qualification of Pundarik Vidiniti. And then he expressed those doubts to Mukunda. And then Mukunda looked at Gadadhar and said, no, don't pay attention to this external manifestation, but watch this. And then he started reciting very intimate verses from Srimad Bhagavatam describing Vrindavan Lila of Krishna. And then upon hearing those verses, Pundarik Vidiniti, he went into ecstatic trance. He basically rolled out from his seat and started tearing all his expensive garments, and his hair went wild, and he was unable to maintain himself, unable to maintain the posture. And when that was witnessed by Gadadhar Pandit, he realized that this person, Pundarik Vidiniti, is a great Mahatma, great Vaishnava, Mahabhagavat devotee. And immediately he felt very bad, because in his mind he offended him. He thought, oh, something is strange with this devotee. Why he dressed so opulently? Why he has servants? This is not the Vaishnava behavior. So immediately he went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he submitted himself, asking for his advice. And he said, I committed this offense, and I feel that Pundarik Vidiniti is my guru. So to nullify that offense, I would like to accept him as my guru and take shelter of Pundarik Vidiniti. And immediately Mahaprabhu answered, yes, Pundarik Vidiniti is your father, your eternal father. So it will be wonderful if you do that. And then immediately Gadadhar Pandit, he went and accepted Pundarik Vidiniti as his guru. And then later on, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, that was a heartbreaking news for all the Navadvipa presidents, including Gadadhar Pandit, who followed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Puridam. Again, we're hearing Guru Maharaj, how he is saying that, how Gadadhar is following Mahaprabhu everywhere. But somehow, Mahaprabhu denied Gadadhar his desire to travel to Vrindavan with Mahaprabhu. So you can see how much sacrifice is there and how much separation is experiencing Gadadhar. He is giving everything already and he is asking to follow Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, and Mahaprabhu is denying him right. Everyone went with Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswamis went there, some other devotees went there, they followed Mahaprabhu everywhere, but Gadadhar Pandit was denying that right. So he is fainting and Mahaprabhu is leaving. He is begging Gadadhar, please don't do that. Because upon external reason he is giving, oh, you accept the Kshatriya sannyas. If you're leaving, then what will happen? What people will think about your Kshatriya sannyas? Kshatriya sannyas means you're taking a vow to stay in a particular place. You don't leave that place and you're engaged in a service and worship in that place. You cannot leave the boundaries of that place, no matter what happens. And then Gadadhar Pandit said, what is the use of this Kshatriya sannyas if I will not have your company? it is all useless, it's all external, I don't care about it. But somehow, again, for the purpose of Lila, he stayed behind and Mahaprabhu went to Vrindavan. And later on, during his Antya Lila pastimes, when Mahaprabhu was fully experiencing Radha Bhav, Gadadhar Pandit, like it was beautifully described in Pranam Mantram, composed by Srila Sridhar Goswami, he was supplying the shlokas from Srimad Bhagavatam when Mahaprabhu was deeply experiencing deepest ecstatic emotions in separation from Krishna. Feeling attracted by Harikatha. So he was reading Srimad Bhagavatam to Mahaprabhu, but himself unable to restrain his ecstasy. So tears would flow down like rivers, and the shlokas he was reading for Mahaprabhu are washed away. It is in Pranam Mantram. It was like offerings to Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the offering to those shlokas? And you can imagine what kind of shlokas Gadadhar Pandit was reading to pacify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to supply, according to his mood and necessity, he supplied certain shlokas, but we can imagine what it was. And then later on, in the later pastimes of Gadadhar Pandit, when Srinivas Acharya, he came on the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to see Gadadhar Pandit, and ask him, please teach me Srimad Bhagavatam. Gadadhar Pandit said, yes, I can teach you Srimad Bhagavatam. But the problem is, you need a book, and I don't have a book. I can recite those shlokas, but you need the book. So please get that book. My book is all damaged. Many shlokas are washed away by the tears, so what can I do? So that pastime has also happened. So it is a very, very unique. And in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the position of Srila Gadadhar Pandit, worship the deities of Gaura Gadadhar, is extremely high and reserved for the very high souls. So I do not dare to venture there. Once Srila Gurudev was approached by somebody who proposed to install the deities of Gaura Gadadhar in our mat. And then Srila Gurudev declined that proposal. He said that the concept of Gaura Gadadhar is so high that it is reserved only for the highest plane, for the highest souls, for the highest Vaishnavas. And if we install this deity, already there are so many sahajis, so many unqualified followers, so many imitations. It will create a massacre. So Gurudev used this word. It will just create a massacre because it's so high. It cannot be imitated. Also today is the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day. There's a reason why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Gadadhar Pandit disappeared on the same day. And you all know about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know the history and everything, so I don't have to tell about all those details. But we also heard from Srila Guru Maharaj talking how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appreciated and really liked his poem that he composed, Bhaktivinoda Viraha Dashakam. Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he felt some inspiration. He composed the prayers, glorifying prayers of separation. He expresses his mood of separation from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, with very critical eyes, started reading this poem, when he reached a certain verse, I'm not sure what verse was that, maybe verse 5, he proclaimed that whatever he came to give to everyone in this world is well received, and at least one man is there to fully represent our sampradaya, our line. And that was Srila Bhakti Narkashana Dev Goswami Maharaj. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur, we have to remember the shloka by Raghunath Das Goswami, Namashishta Manumapi Sachi Putra Atra Swarupam. Whatever I have, all the gems in my life, the service to Gauranga, the company of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, the residence in the Holy Dham, everything came to me by the mercy of my Guru. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave us everything. Actually, before Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared, there was nothing much left of Vaishnavism. It was a very dark time again. Very similar time, like if Mahaprabhu would appear himself. At that time there was also many Sahajis, Mayavadis and impersonalists. So not so many Vaishnavas were available, so everything was well forgotten. So at the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance, everything was pretty much forgotten. Lots of Sahajis, lots of imitations, the holy places have disappeared, and very few Vaishnavas were available. And that's when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came. And what he gave us? He gave us Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Again, the beautiful concepts of teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his true identity, and the position of Srimati Radharani. Everything came from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Shastras, the Guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, the holy places, the Dham. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the one who, by inspiration of the Lord, discovered the holy places, rediscovered them. The Yoga Pit, other places, Shiva Sangam, Advaita Acharya's house, the house of so many other followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was nothing left, there was just fields and moons and hills. You have to remember that Ganga inundated the whole Navadvip town, so all the holy places disappeared at that time. And feeling some inspiration from the Lord, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, actually he wanted to stay in Vrindavan. He wanted to spend some time in Vrindavan, that was his mood. So when he went to Vrindavan, that desire awakened in his heart. But then Lord appeared to him and said, don't forget about your mission, don't forget what you came here to do. Go to Navadvip, go to your home. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur went there, and then he acquired a land in Godramadvip, where he built a small house, small kutir, where he stayed. And one day he saw this mystical, very unusual effulgence on the horizon, on the bank of the Ganges. And then the next morning he went there and he talked to local people, and all of them pointed, some old people, they say, oh, my grand-grandfather was saying that this is where Mahaprabhu have appeared, and so many of them confirmed his vision, so he was very happy. But in order to reconfirm it and make sure that this is 100% Mahaprabhu's appearance place, he asked one of the greatest Vaishnava, perhaps the greatest Vaishnava besides Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, to come and to give his confirmation of that place. And at that time, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was very old. He was more than 100 years old. And he was unable to walk. A servant would carry him in a basket, because he was like this. You see depictions of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. He's all like that, very small figure. Maybe he was about 120 years old at that time. But when they arrived to the Yoga Pit place, Mahaprabhu's birthplace, suddenly he jumped out. He's unable to walk, he's unable to do anything, but he jumped out and started dancing, revealing extraordinary ecstatic transformations in his body and showing extraordinary ecstatic emotions. So that happened, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur was absolutely sure this is the place. So you can see how he is showing us a proper approach, even though he is already sure this is the place. He received this confirmation in his heart. He knows this is the place. Still, he wants to consult the higher Vaishnava. That's why he brought Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Then, he is revealing us the holy places. The whole Navadvip Tham was revealed to us by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then he composes Navadvip Tham Mahatmya to make sure that we know what places where, what kind of pastimes happened there during Mahaprabhu and before Mahaprabhu. And then he is giving us Guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then he is giving us all these beautiful prayers that we are singing every day. Most of them are composed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So much is given. In fact, if no Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then where we would be now? What will be our situation? And he was respected by both Vaishnavas and mundane people. He's a wonderful example of someone, a personality that was very well respected in the mundane world. He occupied very important government positions. At some point he was appointed as a superintendent of Jagannath Temple. So at that time there were so many corruption cases. Jagannath Temple was exploited by the very greedy pandas, the servitors of Jagannath, so-called servitors of Jagannath. And to restore order in Jagannath Temple, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was appointed there, and then he made sure that everything was perfectly arranged. The worship was on a grand scale. He established everything of the highest standard. Then he performed kirtans and harikatha every day. That was done. And then later he was appointed to many different places, and all the time he was in a very important position as a magistrate, doing very high government jobs. But his heart and his soul were fully absorbed in Mahaprabhu. And he kept composing, kept exploring, mining. Mining his heart for those gems, and whatever he felt took shapes of beautiful prayers and beautiful books composed by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, coming back to that conversation, Srila Guru Maharaj said that Bhakti, my Gurudev, he considered Bhakti Vinod Thakur, his father, to be his guru. But more than that, he considered him to be a maidservant of Srimati Radharani herself. But if he said that if I look deeper, I see that he is non-different from Srimati Radharani herself. This is how I see Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That was the vision of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, conveyed to us by Srila Guru Maharaj. And so there is no coincidence why both Srila Gadadhar Pandit, who is non-different from Srimati Radharani, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is seen by his disciple, by his son, and by all of us, ultimately, in a deeper reality as Srimati Radharani herself, both of them disappeared on the same day. It is very meaningful. And so many wonderful stories. I don't even know where to start. Connected to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We heard from many devotees how he would chant in his Bhajan Kutir and Gaudra Madhvip. One Maharaj was there. I think his name was maybe Parvat Maharaj. He was living next door. And he would describe how he would hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Early morning he would wake up and walk in the garden in his house in Gaudra Madhvip and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he said, it wasn't a normal chanting. He said, it was like someone was crying, deeply affected by separation from someone. He was crying for that person, calling for that person. It was heart-wrenching to hear Bhaktivinoda Thakur chanting. It was not just regular Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, not something we used to hear. Not something that is coming from our mouth, but something amazing, something absolutely transcendental, spiritual. This is how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if I look deeper, I will see that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is non-different from Srimati Radharani.
So Srimad Bhagavatam came alone at that time. Appeared alone.
Now this is more of a conceptual. It's like for us, for a guru and disciple. Disciple, Krishna says, Acharya Mam Vigyanina, I'm not different from the Acharya, I'm the Acharya himself. So we see guru as Krishna himself, not different from Krishna. Then if we look more deeper, then our focus becoming more finer, and we start seeing that our guru is a servitor in a camp of Rupa Manjari. He is one of the Manjari maidservants of the Sakis. And what is the position of the Manjari? They are allowed where the Sakis are not allowed because of their purity. They existing purely for the service to divine couple. So this is how disciple would see. But if you refine your vision of your guru, you will see that guru is serving in such a way that undoubtedly he is non-different. He is a direct delegation of Srimati Radharani. And as such, he is non-different from Srimati Radharani herself. So this is the finer vision, finer theistic vision of guru. So it's not like a black and white thing. All these things are very high. These concepts are very high. Our ideals are very high. So we're aspiring one day that we will be able to somehow be useful in the service that our gurus are performing. And through that service, we will get that very deep connection with our guru. And by receiving that deep connection, everything what we are hearing, those beautiful ideals, those beautiful concepts will enter our heart. Because Krishna cannot reject anyone who is presented to him by his best servitor, who is Srimati Radharani herself. So this is our aspiration. There is no use to try to understand who is who and why. It's not for our mind to analyze these things. It can be understood through your heart, through the service connection, through finding your place in the heart of your guru, in the heart of the Vaishnava. Then everything will be revealed to you naturally. So tomorrow is the Gundicha Margin, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. And day after tomorrow is Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Supadra. They are getting on their chariots and distributing mercy throughout the world by giving darshan to everyone without any consideration. And it is also mentioned that it is a wonderful day to start something new. And I'm not saying to start a business or something else. I'm talking about some, you can take some spiritual vows, make some decisions, make another step in your spiritual life. Dedicate yourself to a higher purpose. So that's the day of Ratha Yatra day. It's a very, very important day for us. Because Krishna, he chose this day to return to Vrindavan. So this day had a lot of potency. We can talk about it on the Ratha Yatra day, in the morning of Ratha Yatra day. And tomorrow is a Gundicha Margin, means purifying your hearts, first of all. And doing many things by diving deeper into our sadhana. Cleansing the temple. And by cleansing the temple, we will cleanse our hearts as well. Also, if someone have any issues between each other, that's a good time to cleanse that as well. Re-establish a wonderful relationship between the Vaishnavas. ask for forgiveness, offer your obeisances. And we will read tomorrow how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees who come to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Bengal, they were cleansing the temple of Gundicha. And that was every year. Every year when Mahaprabhu was staying in Puri, when the devotees from Bengal would come, Mahaprabhu would attend the Rathayatra festival, and before that, he would personally go there and cleanse the temple. So that we'll read tomorrow morning. And after that, we expect everyone to clean their hearts, temple, rooms, relationship, chant Maha Mantra more attentively. Increase the quality of your sadhana. So very happy days now. And we will remember Gurudev's pastimes during these days too. I was fortunate to be in India a few times on the Rathayatra day. But Srila Gurudev, he stayed in Calcutta at that time, so I was there in his company. And he would, since there is a direct translation, we're in India, so it's very, even though the Kali is very powerful, and he is overtaking India, like Srila Gurudev used to say, still, they have direct translation of Rathayatra festival, pretty much 24 hours, from early morning till very late evening, like real time. So that will happen. And Gurudev would watch Rathayatra on the TV, and he would recite different shlokas, commenting on different moments of Rathayatra, remembering stories. It was very beautiful, very happy time. And there's lots of times ahead of us that are very happy and beautiful. So we should remember those moments of association with the great devotees of the Lord, but we should also look forward to be useful in their service. Not dwell in the past, but dwell in the present and pray and hope for the future. Jai Srila Gadadhar Pandit Goswami ki jai, Srila Bhaktivinoda, Srila Satchitananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Jai Srila Gurudev ki jai. And I'm pretty sure that there's потоки нектара сейчас в России. Я очень завидую всем. Госвами Махарадж, там Мадхусудан Махарадж, Лалита. А вот тут Махарадж наверняка бегает везде и занимается менеджментом, чтобы все чувствовали себя комфортно, фестивали прошли успешно. И скоро они отправляются в Петербург, да? Уже в Петербурге? Мадхусудан Махарадж до сих пор в Москве. А, вообще куда поехал? Пропагандистский тур. На самом деле Россия настолько удачливое место. Удивительно, насколько удачливое место. Столько милости, потоки милости.